You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
What is happening, Broncos country? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast, your daily bite-sized podcast over here at the Locked On Podcast Network, giving you the best news, insight, and coverage of all things orange and blue related. Very stoked to be back with you guys here once again on this beautiful Wednesday. Hope you guys are having a great start to your drive to work. If it's early in the morning or if you're listening to this in the afternoon or on your way home from work, get home safely. Appreciate you guys. As always, don't forget, once you jump into the car, just tell your smart assistant, whether that be an Apple phone or a Google phone, and tell it to play your favorite podcast, Locked On Broncos. That makes it a lot easier for you to get to work without having to drive and scroll for an episode. Have your smart device pull up your favorite podcast right away. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos and the rest of the NFL. You guys can also follow me on Twitter, at Cody Rourke NFL. I also do some work for the Fansided Networks, predominantlyorange.com. You can also follow my co-host Cameron Parker, who will be joining me here in just a little bit over at Cameron Parker PO. Today's episode of Locked On Broncos, a big one. As always, we got a lot to talk about. We're going to go through our daily Broncos, run down some news on some potential Broncos players that will become free agents, not receiving tenders from the organization. Also, some other news around the NFL and how it affects the Broncos, especially within the division. A potential wide receiver in the AFC West may be getting a very, very big deal, which, in my opinion, if that does happen, it's kind of bittersweet. It's good and it's bad because that team will allocate a lot of money towards offense and not so much defense. That makes the gamut, the opening for the AFC West even bigger for the Broncos to attack. We talk about that as well. We also talk about why Bradley Roby should come back to the Denver Broncos based on our Broncos thought of the day at Cody Rourke NFL. All that action in segment number one. And in segments two and three, Cameron and I, we're going to do a free agency preview. We're going to be taking a look at the defensive line position and which potential prospects could the Broncos pursue in free agency at the D-line to bolster a little bit of depth there. Could they go draft? We're going to analyze all that and much more in segments two and three of tonight's show. Yesterday, our Broncos thought of the day at Cody Rourke NFL stated a report came out saying that Bradley Roby was seeking around $10 million per year in his next deal after becoming a free agent. Would you make that deal for him? Or what if the team offered him $6, $7, or $8 million per year and adding incentives to it that could equate to maybe $10 million a year? Would that be more team-friendly, and is that a deal that you would do? Broncos country, answer the call. Jeff Jackson, True JJ 32 says, $10 million is too much for Roby at this point. It's a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately business. Hey, that guy's been listening to the podcast, and his lately was not good. I would be okay with $7 million a year or a prove-it deal. That's fair. I think that's fair, Jeff. Isaac Yogo says, not sure a decent good corner is worth that. Patriots keep finding undrafted guys who are as good or better. J.C. Jackson, Malcolm Butler to be example. That's a great point. You look at New England, I think defensively, their main success comes. I mean, even if they're struggling all year on the defensive side of the ball, they go back to fundamentals. Who's the current head coach for the Broncos? And fundamentals is one of the biggest things that he preaches. That's Coach Fangio and Coach Donatell, defense coordinator for the Broncos as well. I believe Bradley Roby's issue in 2018, and this is why I think the Broncos need to resign him. We'll get through the rest of the responses here in just a minute. But the reason the Broncos need to re-sign Bradley Roby, I think you need to offer him a $6 to $7 million per year type deal with added incentives in his contract to where he could possibly make up to $10 million. I don't know if that might be too much, but to be honest with you, Bradley Roby in 2018 had a really rough year, and I know it's the easy scapegoat to say that Bradley Roby, you know, the Broncos should move on from him. I tend to disagree, and the reason because of that is Bradley Roby has provided the Broncos with so much value outside of one year. Let's take a look at the Broncos' defense in 2018. We know how bad they struggled as a unit in the secondary, even with Chris Harris Jr. still healthy. When he was healthy, their secondary struggled massively. Why is that? Chris Harris Jr. came out after the season once the coaches were fired, Joe Woods, Vance Joseph. He said, teams knew what we were doing. We weren't outplanning anybody. We weren't disguising anything. We are lining up in basic schemes that you see high school players playing. I mean, a lot of times we went back on film and we watched it, and the Broncos were showing exactly what they were going to do. And you'd see quarterbacks calling at the line of scrimmage, audible, audible, okay, we're checking this. If you had an inside run, you're throwing a quick pass. You're doing some RPO type stuff. Derek Carr looked like an MVP candidate going against the Broncos this season. His efficiency was ridiculous, and teams had a lot of success on that. The Broncos were not very fundamentally sound as a defense in terms of scheme. I think the Broncos scheme in 2018 did not match the strengths of its players. Now, before that, Bradley Roby was playing really good football. In 2017, he had 17 pass deflections, passes defensed in 2017. That set a franchise record for the Broncos. He was tested a lot because nobody wanted to go with Chris Harris Jr. Hardly anybody wanted to test Aqib Talib. They tried to go with Bradley Roby, and Bradley Roby in 2017, prior to 2018, had a phenomenal career with the Broncos, an incredible 4 years. So do we want to write him off after one season? I think that's not the case. I don't think that's what Denver should do. Bradley Roby, in my opinion, still a young guy. The Broncos need to bring him back because he does provide value to his team and their secondary, because not only is he experienced, but he has the work ethic, I think, to overcome that hump, to overcome that confidence slump. How many cornerbacks do we see every year? I mean, look at Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey had an up and down season for Jacksonville this year too. Scheme matters a lot in the NFL, and Bradley Roby was not in a scheme that was friendly to his ability. Coach Fangio will construct the Broncos defense to be successful based on the scheme that fits the strengths of the players. They're not going to do anything too fancy. They're going to do what matches their identity. Bradley Roby matches that identity completely, especially in zone coverage, especially in press man-to-man. You could get Bradley Roby playing a 5-yard off coverage, outside leverage, cover two. I think he'll excel in that a lot. The one thing that Bradley Roby struggled with was playing cover three and cover four and staring in the backfield. That's one thing he did. He stared in the backfield at the quarterback, and that's what allowed him to get beat. That is fixable. If you're willing to throw a guy away right away, I just don't get it. I don't think that's the right formula. Because me, I look at it the same analogy I use with my players. I coach defensive backs. I'm not just going to throw one of my players away just because he gets burnt right away. If he keeps getting burned, I'm going to bench him the game. We're going to go back on the film. We're going to go back on the drawing board, and we're going to work on technique all week in practice on the one thing he couldn't do. The Broncos need to have that similar approach with Bradley Roby. He is still very valuable to the team. I'm a strong believer in that. I really do. Channing Drake Rutherford says, I'd like to see that happen. Adam Donnelly, $10 million for inconsistent play? No thanks. Low base? Sure. With a performance bonus, would be okay as a plan B to someone else. D Broncos 01 says, $10 million? No way. $6 to $7 million? Maybe. But only if I could not find a better cornerback in free agency. The AJ Bronco says, time to say goodbye to Roby. Even a blanket he can't cover. Bleep. Okay. Derek Favretto, good friend of the show here, responds to that. 2018 was an off year for Bradley Roby. He's a good corner. I hope Denver can keep him. In 2017, according to Pro Football Focus, he graded as the 25th best in the NFL. This is with Harris and Talib. Did the talent just magically disappear, or was it coaching? That's the biggest thing I've been trying to point out here. Tim Wenz, no way I'm giving him $10 million, but I like your idea of a lower base with incentives if he plays like he did in 15 and 16. Tylan Lampkin says, now they should let him go. Way too much inconsistency to be paid that much money. There are corners in the draft that you can make the argument that he is better than. But can they tackle? Can Greedy Williams tackle? That's the question. Rock Springs Mez says, at Mile High Mez, would not want Roby back, period. There's a reason the Broncos are looking for cornerback help for Chris Harris Jr. They had none last year. I'll go back to it. The Broncos scheme was absolutely terrible. It was like playing on rookie mode on Madden, the Broncos defensive scheme. Go back on Twitter during some of the games. I'd be happy if I could go back. I get so many dang tweets I can't even remember. But if I could go back and find several games, the opening series, I'm looking at the Broncos defensive scheme. I'm seeing their lineup, how they're lining up, if they're disguising any coverages. They're not. They're playing base coverage, and I'm calling it out. I'm like, okay, well, you're going to find Derek Carr. He's going to attack the soft spots in the zone. He's going to attack the curl to flat, the hook to curl. He's going to attack the inside seam. And guess what he did? He did all of that. You can't be simple. You absolutely can't do that. Then we got OC, Colorado guy. He's just as good as anyone out there, but he has unrealistic expectations. I try to keep him, but you can't pay him more than Chris Harris. Absolutely. You cannot pay him more than what Chris Harris Jr. is currently making. Now, after free agency and the draft, the Broncos and Chris Harris Jr. will come to a contract extension that will keep Chris Harris as a Bronco for life, barring some major, major setback. AJ Atencio says maybe $4 million. Not even sure about that. He's a nickel. Probably best for both parties to move on. I don't think that. Here's my thing. When Aqib Talib was on the roster, Bradley Roby played on the outside alongside Aqib Talib. Chris Harris played in the slot. They didn't have another guy opposite of him to play on the outside. They really didn't. Like I said, scheme matters. You don't believe me? Talk to any NFL defensive coordinator. Orange and White says, I'm a Titans fan. I'd say no in a heartbeat. Okay. No idea. But I appreciate the discussion from a Titans fan. But yeah, anyways, coming up here in segment number two, segment number three, Cameron and I, we're going to discuss how free agency can affect the Broncos. Obviously, some NFL news that we're going to get to that could affect how the Broncos perform within the division. Can one team pay a wide receiver a lot of money? And that's good news for the Broncos in terms of, well, they're paying for offense, but not defense within the division, where it's especially important to have a good defense. We talk about that coming up here in segment number two. But before we get into that, I got to remind you guys, tonight, huge, huge matchup for the Nuggets. They're suffering a three-game losing streak, and it's been frustrating to watch. They've been experiencing identity issues with their lineups. They've been struggling with missing three-point shots. The efficiency hasn't been there. They've been turning the ball over too much. The pick and roll has gone away from them a little bit. They've been enduring some major struggles. They're on the road tonight to take on LeBron and the LA Lakers. This is a big game for the Nuggets. Can they snap a three-game losing streak and get back to the winning ways on the road? Because then they have a game against the Golden State Warriors. It's a tough stretch for the Nuggets if they want to keep that number two seed, but they got to figure out their identity. Check out Adam Ades and Locked On Nuggets for more on this subject. There is some crazy news around the NFL in the last 24 hours, and specifically, one of the biggest prospects in this year's NFL draft. Some concerning things came to light regarding him based on how he interviewed in Indianapolis. And I'm talking about Kyler Murray. Now, Charlie Casserly, a guy who's been around the NFL for quite some time. He's in the conversation. He talks to a lot of people, former general manager for that matter as well. He had a lot of interesting things to say about Kyler Murray, and I felt like it's important enough that we should read. Because I know there's a lot of members in Broncos country that really want Kyler Murray, but there are some things, there are some concerns that he found out based on how he interviewed in Indianapolis. So we're going to get the quote here from Charlie Casserly. He says, he better hope Cliff Kingsbury takes him, number one, because this was not good. These were the worst comments I ever got on a high-rated quarterback, and I've been doing this a long time. Leadership, not good. Study habits, not good. The board work, below not good. Not good at all in any of those areas, raising major concerns about what this guy is going to do. Now, people will say we're going to compare him to Patrick Mahomes. We're going to run an offense like Mahomes. We're going to run an offense like Baker Mayfield. But those guys are much different. Those guys, you never question them about their ability on the board. You never question their leadership ability, their work habits. They were outstanding in those areas. This guy is not outstanding in those areas, and it showed up in the interview. Now, Cam, to me, this is very, very concerning for Kyler Murray, who I think his question and deciding not to throw at the NFL scouting combine, you know, there are questions regarding him. And a lot of these are just beyond the X's and O's. It's also preparation, which apparently he didn't do very well in his interviews. This, in my opinion, I don't know if this is information being put out by several teams, maybe create some smokescreen to make it to where maybe teams don't want to take Kyler Murray because there is that one team that probably wants to take him. I just, at this point too, I don't see Arizona going with Kyler Murray and wasting Josh Rosen after 1 year. What can Cliff Kingsbury do with Josh Rosen? Because I know a lot of people are saying, well, the Broncos should trade for Josh Rosen. I don't think they should right now. If they really want to get rid of him, maybe take a little bit of an interest into it. Are you sold Josh Rosen's going to be a franchise quarterback for the Broncos in the future? Not so sure yet. But I think overall, for Kyler Murray, these types of questions that come out about him, it's very, very concerning.
Here's the thing with me on Kyler Murray. I think he's a tremendous quarterback. I think he can be one of those guys that transcends the league just based on sheer talent alone and athleticism. I mean, I think Kyler Murray can be that guy. But this is not the first time, in all honesty, that people have been rubbed the wrong way with Kyler Murray. I mean, if you think back to his interview with Dan Patrick, It seemed like now even then, that was more about his committal to football than anything. But that, all that said, it just it pinpointed to all of this. Is he flippant? Is he arrogant? It's just important that when you go through an interview process, that you knock it out of the park and you come across like a consummate teammate. Because if you can do that, you're going to win over a good amount of executives. If you can draw plays on the board as far as quarterbacks are go. And it's one of the reasons why this is a different point, but it's one of the reasons why I think that the Drew Lock and Jay Cutler comparisons are a little bad, because I mean, yes, I think that the player comparisons are probably there, but the person comparisons, I think it's vastly different. And so I just think with Kyler Murray, you're looking at a guy that he does have to understand the interview process, and that it truly is maybe the biggest key that can help you sell yourself as a potential first overall pick. Now, granted, I will say this. If there are rumors out there that say that Josh Rosen is being trade bait, then it's safe to say that the Arizona Cardinals, the one team that holds the number one pick, I'd say that we're pretty impressed with Kyler Murray, though, after all.
That may be the case, though, but you know as good as I do, if you go to an interview of any sorts and you perform badly in that job interview and people are rubbed off by you, you're not going to get that job. I think the same thing applies in the NFL with general managers and a potential guy they want to be the quarterback. There were concerns. Was he going to choose football or was he going to stick with baseball? He chose football, but the whole process of and the way he conducted himself, that raised a lot of alarms. That raised a lot of red flags. Him choosing not to throw at the combine. Everyone's saying, oh, you're looking too much into it. I'm sorry, I don't believe so. I want to see more. I would love to see more. But we haven't seen that. And so now we got to wait for his pro day? I'm sorry. That's just not enough yet from a guy like Kyler Murray. And in this situation, he doesn't have like the real value right now in terms of perception from other people to be doing things like this. I don't get it. I don't know how much truth is there regarding the interview process. But you know what? That's how it goes sometimes. Charlie Casserly's been doing this a long time. I trust him, despite the fact that I didn't trust the fact that back in the Hall of Fame when Pat Bowlen could have got in earlier, he kind of went with his buddy there. But in some other NFL news, something that can affect the Broncos, it is rumored Tyreek Hill of the Chiefs is expected to be getting a big-time contract. Now, the rumor is it's supposed to be around 5 years, $95 million. And according to SpotTrack, it could be $42 million guaranteed at signing. And with that, it says it's very possible those numbers push past $100 million and $45 million when it's all said and done. So the Chiefs, not only are they looking to lock up Patrick Mahomes for a long time, but Tyreek Hill. To me, this is good news for the Broncos. Now, Tyreek Hill is a thorn, but if you can double cover him, you can put a safety over the top and you can play aggressive with him, you can stop Tyreek Hill. You can absolutely do that. For the Broncos, this is good news because the Chiefs are allocating all that money on offense and they're not focusing it on defense where they absolutely need it the most. And that's the thing that has me excited, because the Chiefs defense was terrible in 2018. And by them doing this, they risk losing defensive players, not being able to sign defensive players. That is good news for the Broncos as well. And before we get here into segment number three coming up, we're going to talk about defensive line prospects that the Broncos could possibly target next week as we approach NFL free agency. The Broncos, they will not receive a tender and they're restricted free agents. So Casey Kreider, Pro Bowl long snapper for the Broncos, will more than likely test out free agency. And here's the tricky thing about long snappers. They don't make a lot of money. Most of the time, they never make over $1 million. So if they were to get, you know, offer him a tender, he would receive around $2 million. So there is a chance still that Casey Kreider could return to Denver. It really, though, depends on whether or not he's willing to. I think he could make money. I think he make a little bit more than a standard contract, but it just could be like a new contract extension. They'll probably negotiate during the free agency period. But other than that, you do risk losing a long snapper and a good one at that. So that's definitely something I hope the Broncos can figure it out. Brian Parker, also a tight end that stepped up late in the year for the Broncos, he will not be tendered as well. So coming up here in segment number three, Cameron and I are going to discuss some potential free agent prospects on the defensive line at defensive tackle. We're taking a look at some of the Broncos' needs this season right before we get to the free agency period. We're going to analyze some positions where the Broncos need to take a heavy, heavy look. Who can contribute? Defensive line coming up in just a moment. We are officially a week away from the NFL free agency period being official now on March 11th. NFL agents can now begin negotiating with NFL organizations That's going to be a huge thing to keep an eye on. We're going to hear some rumblings. We're going to hear some talk, but nothing can be made official until the 13th of March. So this upcoming Wednesday, we are going to hear more as NFL free agency kicks off. And we're going to take a look at positions of need for the Broncos. Now, Coach Fangio's 3-4 scheme, one of the things you go back and you look at his defenses historically, manning the interior on that 0-1, the two techniques, it's usually a big, beefy guy. Now, there's several free agent options that are defensive tackles that are available, and there are some that are going to be really, I think, too cost expensive there. One guy that would I think would be phenomenal, but unfortunately I think he's going to cost too much money and the Broncos won't do it, is Ndamukong Suh, man in that interior, opposite of Bradley Chubb and Von Miller. Like on the interior of that would be phenomenal. He did a great job. I thought we saw a little bit more of him in the playoffs than we did Aaron Donald. So for Ndamukong Suh, I think he played himself into some opportunity, which, I mean, that's an exciting thing, but it's just going to cost too much. In 2018, he made $14 million. I don't think the Broncos would want to offer him something like that. If he wanted to come to Denver, I think he'd have to probably play maybe like $10 million or $9 million per year. I just don't know. But that's definitely a tricky thing, and I'm going to name off a couple and we'll talk about it. But, you know, maybe another potential prospect for Denver to look at, maybe it could be Sheldon Richardson. He could be an option for the Broncos, or you could look at Muhammad Wilkerson as well, formerly of the Green Bay Packers. There are some other prospects here, but these guys are certainly intriguing. They're a little bit more affordable than a guy like Ndamukong Suh or even Timmy Jernigan down there with the Philadelphia Eagles or Corey LeGuet of the Los Angeles Chargers. Those guys are making, you know, they're making a ton of money. They're making seven figures. For the Broncos, they got to figure out a way. How do you pay for that defensive line? You got to be stout there. The Broncos are looking to upgrade at inside linebacker, potentially safety. They got to add more cornerback depth, but you got to get some big hogs in that interior, especially with Domo Topeka becoming a free agent.
Yeah, it's an interesting time, man. It's a very interesting time because defensive tackle really isn't low on as far as the rankings or should we say for free agents. But I think that there is enough depth there where they can attack and they can make it a need. You know, one of the guys that has been rumored is Jonathan Hankins, and who knows if he's going to end up being a fit. The Sheldon Richardson thing, I think, is pretty interesting because if we think back to, say, a few years ago, there was some rumors out there that said that the Denver Broncos were a potential trade opportunity or a trade partner, should we say, for a Sheldon Richardson back when he was with the New York Jets. So is it possible that we start circling back on a guy like a Sheldon Richardson? I think it's possible, which sort of leads it to maybe a Brandon Mebane. Obviously, Brandon Mebane was in division with the Los Angeles Chargers. And if I'm not mistaken, he took a visit to Denver. Oh, what was it, Cody? 2-3 years ago? Then he went on to sign with the Chargers. So I don't know if the interest is still there because the defensive scheme has changed a little bit. But well, who could he be a fit? But if I'm a betting man, say right now, my guess is that Jonathan Hankins is probably the one guy that I would want to keep my eye on personally. But hey, if you want to spend big and you want to make it a huge underrated splash, or maybe not underrated, but I mean, you want to make a splash on that defensive line, go get Sue. Really? I mean, but I just doubt it. I mean, he's a businessman. He learns his business from Warren Buffett from the times down when he was down in Nebraska. So he's a businessman. So is it possible we see another 1-year deal, 2-year deal? I don't know.
I think it would be just too cost effective for the Broncos. And I think it would be more detrimental. Like, I think you'd get great production from Ndamukong Suh. You know, he's 32 years of age. You know, he's at that point in his life. I think he has maybe about 5-6 more years in the NFL. We're looking at guys like Haloti Ngata, who's a big guy that could man it, but the concern with him is, you know, he's 35 years of age and he's at that point. I just don't think he could provide the Broncos with the value that they could get from him. I mean, he'd be a cheap guy to get, but you're looking at a lot of these older free agent defensive linemen, D tackles. They're going to cost you less, but you got to factor in, can they still produce? And with Brandon Mebane, you think about that, 34 years of age. Muhammad Wilkerson, I like to say 30 to 32 is still relatively young. Once we get to like the 33, 34 years of age, then I start to question whether or not it would be a good fit. So let us know on Twitter what your thoughts are. It's our Broncos thought of the day. Who is your defensive tackle prospect? If you could sign anybody of these free agents at defensive tackle, who would it be? That is our Broncos thought of the day over there at Cody Rourke NFL. And I also want to remind you guys, check out Body Armor too. One thing I do is I'm a Body Armor fanatic. And if you saw on social media, I've got the blueberry pomegranate, I've got the orange mango, I've got Broncos color. So I want to thank Body Armor for sending out this shipment to us directly, because Body Armor, that has me locked on to everything every single day. The orange and blue colors are my go-to. Make it yours, because you make Locked On Broncos your daily go-to for your podcast needs. Make it your daily sports drink as well. Body Armor, blueberry pomegranate, very, very tasty, superior hydration, super drink. I love it. Check it out. You could get it at your local King Supers, any kind of store, Sam's Club, Walmart. But I tell you what, it is amazing. Keeps you hydrated. One a day keeps the doctor away, my man. So, yeah, I want to thank all Broncos country once again for tuning in to another episode of the show. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to continue to break down some of the positions of need that the Broncos need to take a look at with free agency. And we're going to get onto the offensive side of the ball starting in tomorrow's episode.